Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., and that means I'm on the road. That means I'm using different technology to connect with you when I'm on the road. Sometimes it sounds a little bit different, so at least you'll know why if it does. And we, you know, we'd like to give you variety on the show here. I mean, how boring, how dull and boring would it be if my if the way I sound was always the same, always absolutely perfect? I mean, what kind of variety would that be in life? Joan Pride, what do you think about that?
I think there's a place in our lives for boring. I think boring can be good.
Especially when it comes to technology, right?
Right.
That's one thing about technology. I'm with you. I'm just having a little fun here. But no, when it comes to technology, let's have the boring old stuff that just works all the time, right?
That works for me, sure.
Yeah. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, it's good to talk to you. And you know, I'm nearby now.
I know. That is scary.
Well,
your
of course.
Producer and I were discussing that before I came on the air.
Right, I have to get a visa to come to town. They have to. I have to get. It's kind of like a permit to assemble, only there's only one of me. You know that kind
right.
of thing.
Exactly.
Joan, let's just get into the letter. As we ease into the letter, a lot of crazy things have happened literally since the letter was published.
Boy, yeah, it's crazy and a little bit scary too, I think.
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the things I'm trying to do, and I'm probably not doing a wonderful job of it, but I'm doing my best, is to help small business owners divine, you know, determine between the hype and the reality. What are the things that they need to really be concerned about, and what are the things that they need to actually believe that you know what, that's not going to affect me. It may not be good for those people, but it's not going to affect me that much. And that's kind of a hard job right now, because the goalpost keeps moving.
Right, exactly.
I mean, over the weekend we had Merrill Lynch being bought out by Bank of America, and you know what I don't get about that, Joan, is It's like Ken Lewis with Bank of America woke up Saturday morning and said, what do you want to do today, honey? And she says, his wife says, I don't know, honey, what do you want to do? Oh, here's a phone call. It's Thane from Merrill Lynch, and Thane says, Hey Ken, you want to buy my business? You want to buy Merrill Lynch this weekend? He says, yeah, I can have anything else to do. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that kind of what happened?
You would sort of try to believe, I think. Yes.
Monday morning, they were making the rounds, telling people,
right.
"Hey, we just got married."
Exactly.
So I mean, that's crazy. And then the government's guaranteeing $85 billion in loans to AIG, taking back warrants, which ultimately essentially could put the government, basically means the government could nationalize AIG.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly.
They did nationalize Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, didn't they?
That's right.
I mean, holy mackerel, this is unprecedented, isn't
yeah,
it, Joe?
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
So let's go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is being touted, not touted, but it's described as the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
Well, people that I know who know about these things, who I consider their opinion no less a person than Dr. Bob McTeer, the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and a member of the FOMC formerly, said what you just said to my audience. Now, what
right.
we've got to do, though, Joan, what small business owners have to do is we have to realize that this is a financial crisis that doesn't fully roll all the way in with a full impact downhill to small business. It doesn't have to. It may not. We just don't know yet, do we? How bad it's going to get.
Exactly, yeah.
But let's remind people that the economy is not the same thing as Wall Street.
Right.
A lot of these problems that have been created that have caused these challenges on Wall Street were created because of financial instruments that were produced that didn't add any value to the marketplace. They weren't marketplace transactions. They were security transactions, weren't they?
Right. Exactly.
And so it's not like we don't have enough soybeans anymore, Joan. It's not like we don't have enough oil anymore.
Right.
It's not like all of our houses have burned down. It's not like we don't have anywhere to go to work.
Now, right.
I mean, we have to remember that Main Street economy is I've been saying, Joan, for the last day or so is when I think about our overall economy, including the financial sector. I'm saying that we're like a 285-pound nose tackle for a professional football team who's big and strong and bad. He is today, he will be tomorrow, but today he's only going to have to go half speed because he's got the sniffles.
Okay.
What do you think?
That's a very optimistic way of looking at it. That's good.
Well, you know, they call me Pollyanna, Joan. But you guys say... But now here's the thing, though, Joan. You guys say... And I'm reading here from page one of Kiplinger's letter. Hundreds of banks will fail by 2010 or
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Tell us what you mean. Tell us what you're talking about here.
Well, the fact that this is going to be spreading beyond Wall Street to banks around the country. We say 11 have gone belly up so far this year. That's really nothing.
Yep.
We're saying a few dozen more by the end of the year. So this is going to be a ripple effect that continues for the next couple of years.
Well, and Ken Lewis, the guy who's now considered king of Wall Street because Bank of America acquired Merrill Lynch, he said, I heard him say on television this week, when somebody asked him about that, he said maybe half. Meaning, not 1,000 of 9,000, but maybe half of 9,000. Now that's I don't know why he said that. I don't know what motivated him to say that. I don't think he's right. I do not believe that because the banks, and you guys point this out, Joan, that the hardest hit areas are California, Florida, Arizona, and Georgia, right?
Right.
So then maybe a few other states. Those states have a lot of problems with mortgage loans, and those are the ones I think where most of the failures are going to be. So, and I don't think there are 4,000 banks in those areas, in those states. So we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Joan Pride right after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. We got some good news after these messages. Junior Walker and the All-Stars bringing us back with a little shotgun. That must be the way some of the people on Wall Street feel right now. That they've been in the muzzle blast of a shotgun. And God bless those people at Lehman and Bear Stearns and who knows how many other the counterparties that they have up there. All the different people, the vendors. You know, by the way, folks, Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. You know, Joan, when I hear about things like this, this is... Regardless of how all this stuff that we've been talking about is going to roll out across the nation, across small businesses, across the nation and our economy, this is definitely taking a toll on the tri-state area economy. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. It's
taking
a toll on those three states, those cities in that area. And I just can't help but, I mean, I'm thinking and praying for those small business owners and wanting them to know how concerned I am about all the small business owners in those areas, the vendors of Wall Street, Joan, the small business owners who basically feed and clothe and serve Wall Street. All those guys, I mean, just like the small business owners in Houston who've been hit by a hurricane, the Wall Street small business owners, the tri-state area up there, they've been hit by a financial hurricane, haven't they?
Well, that's funny you should say that, because one of the newspapers this morning, I think it was the Washington Post, called it a Category 4 financial storm.
Well, they must have heard my thoughts on that, Joan.
Yes.
You know, I was actually thinking about saying this last night. And by the way, folks, even though I'm in Washington, I don't get the Washington paper, so I don't know. I promise you, that wasn't plagiarism. But but you know, Joan, great minds think alike, Joan. And but anyway, no, seriously, I really feel for the small businesses. You know, when people talk about strikes, you guys reported on the Boeing strike and the possible Hollywood strike again.
Right.
You know, my thoughts are not to the strikers. My thoughts are to the small business owners who are going to be hurt by those businesses, you know, being shut down. So, Joan, by the way, I talked to Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, about Ken Lewis's statement that I mentioned a minute ago, where he said this week that maybe half of the 9,000 banks in the United States would fail over the next couple of years. And Bill said he thought that was preposterous. And I agree with him. I don't know what motivated Ken to say that. I'd like to hear him qualify that. But you guys reported this week on kind of you say maybe 1,000 banks will fail, right?
Yes, right.
But put that in perspective for us historically.
Well, what I find interesting is that we say that would be the most in two decades, but we also say that's less than the number of banks and, I guess, savings and loans that failed between 1987 and 1992. That was 8% failed back then.
Right.
So I think that really does put it in perspective.
Right. I think so, too. One of the things, though, that is unprecedented, and Bill Dunkelberg in the last hour confirmed this. He agrees with me on this, and I'm sure you will too. Even though I know you don't like to agree with me,
got that right.
And government intervention, the moral hazard that's been going on for the last 6 months between the Treasury Department, the Fed, and the marketplace, you could cut with a knife. And it's the moral hazard is unprecedented. With bailing out, in a way, at least preventing Bear Stearns from failing, preventing AIG from failing, but allowing Lehman to fail. I mean, that's moral hazard at its extreme, and it's unprecedented, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's the thing. They said, okay, we bail out one, we don't bail out the other. What's the difference? How come Lehman isn't allowed to have the same relief that AIG had?
Yep, I know.
Now, I'm assuming the answer that they would give you is that they were concerned about the ripple effects from AIG than from Lehman, but I think that doesn't really hold water.
Well, I think the simple answer is AIG was too big to fail and Lehman wasn't.
Apparently.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's really, you know, folks, this books are going to be written. Movies will be made.
Oh, boy.
About what's going on as we speak, Joan, as you and I speak right now. The events of this week, this year, movies and books will be written about this. This is, regardless of what happens, Joan, we are making history right now, I think, don't you?
No question about it.
Joan, another thing that I think you guys point out very correctly this week in the letter is about the increased regulation that's going to come out of all this. The government gets involved. If they put public money at risk, which they've done, if that ship has sailed, folks, they will. That does bring in the regulators anew, doesn't it?
Well, I think that the regulation that you're going to see is going to make Sarbanes-Oxley look like nothing.
Yeah, look like a picnic.
Right.
I think you're right. I think, and I don't like Sarbanes-Oxley, so you can imagine how I'm going to like what's coming up. But Jonah, I think one thing that you a service that you and I can serve right now though is to talk to people about what another thing you guys reported on, and that's what depositors in banks should be thinking about their money. Talk to us about that.
Well, in terms of bank deposits, this is a point where people start to panic, of course.
Yeah.
And that's why people need to remember they don't have to worry because federal insurance covers up to 100% of $100,000 per depositor at each institution.
In a commercial bank, though, not if your money is in an investment bank.
Right.
So your money market fund may not be covered, but your CD in a commercial bank with FDIC insurance is covered.
That's right.
Yeah. I asked my wife yesterday, I said, is our money safe? She said, yes, both dollars are safe. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check them out. Do that while we're on the news right now. Stay with us. We'll be right back. That's the way you do it.
Play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. We got Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, with us, as she does just about every week. And we're talking about we've been talking about banking. And folks, I want to reiterate, Joan, help me out here, that folks, if your money is in a commercial bank, if you've got under $100,000 in any one account, you're insured by FDIC, a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation.
Right.
And if you're in a credit union, what's that, SIPC, SPIC, I've forgotten, there's a guarantee for that too. If you're
right.
there are other federal guaranteed groups that are out there.
But if I could just make one point, it's important for people to understand that it's $100,000 per depositor per institution. So in other words, if you have three accounts at, Fred Smith's Insured Bank, and those three accounts add up to $90,000, you're fine. But if those three accounts add up to...
Now, Joan, I've been told that if you have different accounts, like if you have an account... Well, you're right. You're right if it's in your name and your Social Security number alone.
Right, that's what I'm saying, per depositor. But so my point is, if you have a couple of different accounts, and it's, which is possible, at the same bank, and they add up to, say, $150,000, you're not completely insured. That's why we say in the Washington letter to spread out the largesse among several banks.
Right. Or you could also put part of that in your name. I think you can put it in your name and your wife's name, maybe, or your spouse's name.
I think you could put it in a
child's name or something like
differently.
That.
Right.
Exactly. And so, but talk to your banker. Don't rely on Joan and me for the exact information. We're just trying to get your thought, your brain thinking about how to solve this. Talk to your banker about what's the best way to do that. And I think, Joan, I think you're right. And of course, I tell people all the time, you shouldn't just be doing business with one bank. I think people should be doing business with at least a couple of banks.
Right.
And because, people change, things change. And so I recommend that too. But don't worry, folks. I mean, your money's okay. We don't need the public to be panicking and going and pulling all their $29 balances out of banks, Joan.
That's right.
Or my $2.
Right.
Joan, let's move on down and talk a little about the economy. Now, one good thing that's been happening, and this is, Joan, this is the bright spot on the horizon. Commodities have been coming down.
That's true. Although there is one commodity that's going right through the roof right
now.
That's
what that is.
Gold.
Yeah.
It's called safe haven.
But Joan, it dropped for a while.
Yes, it did. But right now, and it was probably still dropping when we wrote what we wrote. But in the last few days, because of the events of the last few days, it's just gone wacky.
Where is it now,
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm not a numbers person,
Is it near 1,000 or?
I have no idea what it is.
Okay, all right, whatever.
Not a clue.
I haven't seen that because I was traveling yesterday, but the thing is though, Joan, oil is down under $100 a barrel. It got
Thank
down to
goodness.
92 this week.
Yes.
Remember, Joan, when you and I were talking about this back in the spring, and I said there is no reason, there's no supply and demand reason why oil should be at $142, $145 a barrel. There's nothing. Supply and demand didn't double. The relationship didn't double in a year the way the price doubled. And that, frankly, I said oil should be, in my opinion, below $100. You guys did too, and
right.
We were right, Joan.
Right.
There's nothing but speculation.
That's true.
And but other commodities have come down, Joan. That means food prices. So this has really helped inflation, Joan, and it's helped the Fed not to have to deal with inflation and the financial challenges and a slowing economy.
Right.
I mean, think about that. What would have been going on if they had had to fight, if their decisions had had to
be focused also on inflation. This would have been a tougher challenge.
Well, then we really would be talking about stagflation because we would be in such a downward spiral that now the Fed at least has some breathing room.
Well, see, yeah, because they did not raise rates this week, by the way, which I thought they'd go down
either.
A quarter.
I think people thought they might lower them.
I actually predicted Tuesday that I thought they'd go down a quarter, and I was wrong. You know, the one time it was one example this century where I was wrong, but you know what, Joan? Could happen any minute now.
That you could be wrong again?
No, that's not going to happen.
Oh.
No, the Fed could lower rates any minute if things get a little dicey.
Yeah.
And because inflation is not too bad, they actually can do that without hurting things too badly. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. More to come. We're going to change the subject after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17. Small Business Advocate. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And I'm going to tell you about the Kiplinger website, which is Kiplinger, like it sounds, KIPLINGER.com. It's a good one. I encourage you to check it out because one thing you can do there, you can subscribe to these outstanding publications of this wonderful family-owned small business kicking some behind out there in the financial sector marketplace, the business publication marketplace. Joan, you guys are really, I continue to be impressed with what I consider still to be a small business, the Kiplinger folks, the Kiplinger editors.
Thank you very much.
And so at the weekly publication, folks, which I'm going to come back to in a second, the weekly publication, which is Kiplinger Letter, and then they've got four biweekly, California, the Tax, the Agriculture, and the Biofuels Letters. And then they've got a magazine.
Right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And go ahead and give us the phone number.
Sure. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Now, Joan, I'm going to come back to the letter because next week is the 85th anniversary of the continuous publication of the Kiplinger Letter.
Wow.
How about that?
That's amazing. And may I say one other thing?
Yes.
This Friday is the 90th birthday of a very special person.
What? A national treasure, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Tell us who it
That's
is.
That's right. Austin Kiplinger, the son of the founder and our leader.
Yeah. Austin Kiplinger,
right now,
folks.
To be correct, he's our leader emeritus now.
Emeritus,
because,
right.
The president of the company is Knight Kiplinger, his son. But
right.
He is still a force in the company.
And he's ramrod straight.
Boy, I'll say.
Straight back, flat belly, dressed like he stepped out of a GQ magazine, sharp as a tack. And, Joan, we're doing our best to get him on the show next week to celebrate his birthday, as we have done a number of times over the last 10 years.
Well, that should be fun.
You know, he actually precedes you as a Brain Trust member, Joan.
Really? Well, that's the way
here,
it should be, I think.
He was here before you and back in 1998.
And he'll probably be here after me.
Probably so. Anyway... Congratulations on that great string of success, 85 years. Joan, let's move down and talk about let's talk about the economy from the retailer standpoint. You guys say that the holiday season is going to be a little slow this year.
Little cheer, we say, and only Kiplinger could say it. Santa's sleigh will bring only a 2% increase in sales because that poor consumer just doesn't have that much money to throw around anymore.
And one of the reasons, Joan, is because of the credit crunch that is pervading over the United States, the economy, not just Wall Street. I mean, credit cards are tightening up. I mean, there is a credit crunch for consumers right now. There's no question about that.
But you also have to wonder, and I agree with you, that's absolutely true, how much of this is people saying, you know, I'm worried about my job. For good or for ill, rationally or irrationally, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I think I think I'll hold on to my money and not spend it this holiday season.
There are both of those things. Part is the general attitude, but also part even if they want to spend money, or they may not be able to spend as much because, as you know, an awful lot of holiday spending is done on credit.
Right. Oh, sure.
But John, another thing that you guys point out is how much
of an increase online spending is going to be, online shopping is going to be, which I like, which prompts me to remind small business owners to make sure that your website is up to date, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that your customers and prospects can find you online, and that if they want to at least shop with you, even if not lay their money down on the barrelhead online, at least let them shop with you so they know what they're looking for, and so when they come to see you, they know that you have what they want when they get there.
And that's something that I do all the time, and nothing irritates me more than a site that hasn't been updated. It makes me think that this isn't a terrific business. They don't know what they're doing.
Or they don't at least have their catalog of products available. Even if you can't buy it there, at least you can see what they have before you drive across town.
Right. And I want an updated, I want their directions, the phone number. You don't have to be selling online to have a good website. You can offer people a lot more information, like your store hours and a lot of other things, so they can find out right away and know exactly what they want to do.
And Joan, no disrespect intended, but you're not an online expert like some of my online experts. You're that's from a consumer standpoint.
Right, exactly. I'm just a plain old hockey mom consumer.
There's nothing plain old about you, Joan. You're extraordinary. But I do think that I did want to point out though that those comments you heard Joan make, folks, is as she says, just as a consumer. So she's a perfect example of the kind of folks that you're doing business with. Joan, Congress, in my opinion, has been an abject failure for some years, but especially the last couple of years. They can't seem to get their act together, can they?
That's certainly true.
Tell us about the spending bills.
Well, but there's not much to say because they're not getting them done. We say only 2 of 12 of the annual appropriations bills will be done by the end of September when Congress shuts down so they can go campaign.
Mm-hmm. So, Joan, here's my question. I ask this every Congress. Are we going to pay them?
We always seem to, don't we?
If you're selling on commission and you get 2 of 12, if you need 12 sales to make a living and you only get make two sales, are you going to eat very well this year? This week, are you going to get paid? Probably not. But Congress apparently is able to do that. What's wrong with that picture, Joan?
Boy, well, that happens when you write the checks for your own paychecks.
When you show up,
your own paycheck, that's what's going to happen.
If you miss 10 out of 12 days at Kiplinger, I don't think you're going to be able to be around there very long.
Right, because somebody else signs my paycheck.
That's exactly right. So what I think we should have, Joan, and whoever gets, these presidential campaigns who are promising change, I think that's one of the changes they should make. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Right, yeah. So hold your breath till that happens, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
I don't think that's change. I don't think that's change we're going to see. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
For me to fade.
Little Drifters bringing us back 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, I love this energy report you guys produced this week in the letter. Hot tub size mini reactors. Joan, tell us about this. Hot tub size nuclear reactors?
Yeah.
What's this
about?
Well,
they're not hot tubs. They're just, that's the size of them. They're tiny little things that could power very small residential areas, say 25,000 houses.
So bigger than Sarah Palin's little town of Wasilla, right?
Yes, I think so.
So she would only need a sink size for 9,000 population of Wasilla, Alaska?
Right.
A hot tub size. Is this like popular science, Joan, or is this a real thing?
No, I think it's a real thing. Because Toshiba, Hyperion, and New Scale Power are doing it.
So creating the power for 25,000, but there are some nuclear reactors online right now, aren't there? Coming online.
You mean bigger ones?
Yeah, bigger ones. The full size.
Well, we say the new full size plant will be coming in about 6 years. That would be
six or 7 years. Yeah, it takes a while to bring these things on.
Right.
And Joan, as we saw back in the '70s and '80s,
You know, of course, the technology has improved a lot in the last 25 years or so.
In other words, to make it safer?
Well, not just safer. I think they've really always been safe, Joan, here in the United States. That Three Mile Island thing was, I mean, nobody got hurt. That was the death knell for nuclear in this country, for sure. But I think they've been safe. But we got new technology, and my point was, back in those days, it took 10 years or maybe more to bring a nuclear plant online. Now we can do it a lot quicker. The problem with nuclear, Joan, is what do you do with the waste? That's the problem I'm more concerned about than anything.
And you've got all the NIMBY people out there, not in my backyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what's that other one? Don't build anything anywhere, but the banana people, but don't build anything anywhere near anybody or something like that.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, there are those guys. So look for that, folks. I can't wait to get my own hot tub reactor, Joan. Would that power my own... you know, maybe I could get like a water bottle size reactor to power my
there
house.
You go.
cameras are spurring innovation in business use. Joan, is this like Big Brother in our businesses?
Well, we do say that because we say monitoring everything from sticky fingers at cash registers to wayward kids climbing cell phone towers.
Right. Yeah, and you know, cities, more and more cities are putting cameras up.
Yes, that's true.
They got them all over. They got them all over London, Joan.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. So privacy issues, Joan, have got to be part of this, right?
Oh, no question about it.
The more cameras become available, tiny cameras, high-powered cameras, high-quality cameras, more they're easier to buy, less cheaper to buy and easier to put up. We're going to have privacy issues that are going to be debated, Joan, over the next few years, I think, don't you?
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
Joan, let's move over and talk. One thing that you guys report I think is really important. You know, I encourage all of my small business owners to join their national trade group. I think there's so much benefit that they can get from being part of their national organization of whatever industry that they're in. Go to the annual conventions. But more and more of these groups are building virtual trade fairs. You guys reported that on that this week, didn't you?
Yeah, virtual trade fairs. I think this is a really interesting concept. Especially given the high price of travel and how horrible it is to fly these days.
Yep.
So you can meet with vendors and look at their stuff and not even leave your office.
Joan, about a year or so ago, I actually was a keynote speaker at a virtual trade show.
So you couldn't tell who was sleeping during your speech.
That's exactly right. No, it was the only bad thing. I couldn't see their eyes. But now, Joan, but do you remember, Joan, after 9/11, I said that technology was going to be the biggest enemy of the airline and the business hospitality industries, not terrorism, but this kind
yes.
of thing. And I still believe that. It's, Joan, video connections, being able to see the person who's speaking and all that sort of thing, that technology is growing significantly right now.
That's right.
So look for those things, folks. If you're trying to hold down your travel costs, as Kiplinger points out this week, look for those virtual opportunities. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
And I'm going to see you tomorrow. Aren't you excited?
You sure will. I'm scared and excited.
Hey, thanks, Joan. We'll see you.
Okay, great.
Good job. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour, continuing to broadcast live from Washington, D.C., from Georgetown, actually. I'll be doing it again tomorrow. I'll be right here with you, just like you are in your small business. I'll be in mine. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.